Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Morning, City Councilman Chuck Fry with us this morning. If there is one guest that I could have scheduled on a day when we're getting snow, it would be Vice Mayor Chuck Fry. Councilman Fry, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
I'm used to if the snow's coming down, with a regular job being UPS, it's still time to go. So the weather doesn't matter.
I looked when I saw this all developing this weekend, and then especially yesterday as it came about, I thought most of my guests would have said by now, hey, you know, can we reschedule? And when I heard from you yesterday afternoon, there was just, what time do you want me there? And yeah. I thought I knew you would find your way. Well, Happy New Year.
Same to you. Good to see you. Same to you.
I guess we'll find out later today what's going to happen. I mean, noon today was to be the swearing in for the new city council, and that will happen, but probably maybe a day or two from now.
Yeah, if we can't do it today, it'll be a quick reschedule. Yeah, but I will say that the snow is coming down and it is getting a little thicker out there, real fast.
Yeah, the roads seem to be it's a kind of a mixture of snow and sleet.
Yeah,
and it's just I'm sure you had to drive a lot slower here than you normally would.
Oh yeah. You know, I don't speed anyway, Mr. Schubel.
Of course you don't. That was not even implying that. Well, trying to get our bearings here as we kind of adjust to just kind of a very wintry morning. You were elected re-elected in November back on city council.
Yes.
And what was that? I haven't really had a chance to talk to you since that. But you really didn't take anything for granted. Campaigned very hard and. Yeah. How enlightening was it 4 years later to be going around in the ward?
It was cool. I appreciate the competition because it made me work a little bit harder, to do what I'm already doing. So, I walked a little faster,
yeah.
You know, when I was knocking on doors. And my point was, and I've always done this, to hit every door. So, to knock on every door is always big for me, you know, and when I would go to, you know, some people's door, and it's just amazing ones. Hey, Chuck Fry. Hey, with the early votes, a lot of people already voted for you, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I'm knocking on doors, so it was interesting.
That kind of changes things. The early voting.
The early vote changes things. Of course, the time frame of the election this year was totally different.
Yeah.
Luckily, the weather was nice, so you know, considering that, you know the season.
Yeah.
So I'm used to, you know, being out there, and it's, you know, it is 70 degrees or 80 degrees, and it was kind of, you know, not really 80 degrees, but it was nice weather out there to be walking.
I miss the fact, just because I always did like having city elections in May, because you could really focus in on it, and I just found I was not able to do that this year because there were so many other things going on.
Yeah, it's more personable in May.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know, January through, you know, May. And you know, it's real personal during that time. For me, I would say, besides everybody else out walking around at the same time, you know, and different races going on, for me, it was still the same.
Okay.
Because, you know, I was with myself, my team, you know, which is, you know, whoever comes with me, whoever calls me and says, let's go.
Yeah.
So, you know, to get out there, and really it was just – I was in my own world when I was out there. So it was kind of the same, besides just seeing sometimes other people out.
Yeah.
You know? So it was all good, though.
And I do understand the thought of if you have the elections like they were, you move them to November and perhaps the turnout is a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so I did understand that.
Well, and then a lot of people... A lot of people, like in local elections, you know, some people say, well, I don't pay attention to local elections. Then you find out that a lot of people, you know, really do.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and for the city, we went through this tug of war of partisan and nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And that didn't affect me. Like I said, I'm knocking on doors, period. And, the folks know my work. So that's what I got to hear a lot was the stuff that I had been doing. And I was hearing that from the residents in the city.
Yeah.
So it was good.
It is always interesting to me when you hear people say, I don't pay attention to local politics. You should pay attention to local politics.
You better pay attention to local politics. Yeah, you better pay attention because we represent, you know, your everyday.
Yeah.
So it's huge. But I had to, you know, before we jumped off this subject, I had to take it personal because if anybody, you know, wants to, let's say, knock me off the block, you know, and if anybody wants to knock me off the block, I have to take it personal with Midnight Madness, with the Gun Give Back, mm-hmm. you know, with the other things that I'm working on. So, you know, that's near and dear to my heart. So a lot of people may not understand it, but, you know, I live by that stuff and I believe that it makes the city better. So, you know, if anyone wanted to challenge the fact that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be on council, I'm just going harder because I know the effect of those type of programs, you know, and plus other things, you know, that I work on. But the coolest thing for me is, A lot of things that I could see, I got to share with council, and then council got to see it too. You know, it just a lot of things just took time.
And I think the best example is Midnight Madness, mm-hmm. of where you were impacted by that growing up yourself. Mm-hmm. It went away. You got on council. Mm-hmm. It's back.
Yeah, yeah, and I had you know, for me to share that was beautiful, and to watch, you know, council members, school board members, and everybody come out. And, you know, stop by and visit. When they stop by and visit and they see what's going on, they're like, oh, wow. You know, and that's because a lot of people just don't know. They see, you know, they see your video. They see a little clip in the paper. They might hear about it. They might see a school bus in the summertime, but they just don't get it. But, you know, for us, you know, being there, you know, it's huge. And to see now, so many years later, you know, these young adults now that are grown, you know, I believe if you invest in the youth that, you know, they're going to take care of the city.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
Well, and you just use you as the example, and you've been able to take that story and talk about it in various community events. Mm-hmm. You always bring it back around that someday somebody who's in school right now may be looking up to you, mm-hmm. and you might be the you might be the role model that someone decides, hey, he can do it, I can do
it. Yeah. And just to lay the footprint, maybe that would stick around for a while, is cool. And or to even use the word reinvent, because, you know, Midnight Madness was a program, but it went away.
Yeah.
You know, so it's new to a lot of people, but it's not new to me. So just to keep things going that are great, you know, let's continue to do that. And I'm really excited. And then, of course, the you know, the slave block conversation turned into a whole lot of dialogue for the city. And now you can see the benefits of the conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, with the different things, the different markers and the different things that are happening in the city. So, I mean, I don't know. I love Fredericksburg. So anybody, you know, who knows me knows that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, to be reelected, you know, it's sweet. It's sweet, you know, knowing that, you know, the work can be continued, you know. And also, you know, who knows what the new ideas are. That's one thing about, you know, new terms and different things like that. You know, I'm always... You know, sometimes when I joined council, I didn't know exactly what it was, you know, what every little detail was. But just to throw things out there that I thought that was beneficial, I would like to see, you know, what more things get thrown out there that maybe even I, you know, can support.
I want to talk more about the marker, because I am thinking in particular of the marker for the Freedom Riders, mm-hmm. that was erected downtown last summer. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that, because that was, you were the first one who ever just put that idea in my head and started talking about that. And we'll talk about that and some other things. Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
City Councilman, Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning on the program. And coming out in the snow, which I appreciate that. It's great to have you here this morning, Vice Mayor Fry. You mentioned a second ago about markers. And I can remember a couple of years ago, we had a conversation about, and you told me about, the Freedom Riders and how the first stop was in Fredericksburg. I had never heard that story. And I've been here 30-some years, had never heard that story.
Yeah. And shout out, let me throw some names out real quick. Christine Henry, Aaron Devlin, and Chris Williams from UMW. We all, I got the phone call one day from those guys from UMW. And it created, which was something else that was great, created a partnership with the city and UMW to get this type of work done. And we spent, right, it was before COVID, and we spent some late nights on the phone, you know, after I got off work. And everybody got to know, you know, who, they already kind of knew my schedule. And they reached out and said, hey, you've been working on this and you've been working on that, you know. And the, at that time, it was the end of the scenario about the slave block. And it was, we were getting into the now we can tell, you know, the story, you know, the story of Fredericksburg. And you know, right now the part of the story is telling, you know, the story of African Americans in the city of Fredericksburg. But that was the beginning of that, you know, outside of council.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started with that. We had John DeBaptiste's story, the ferry, and that's down on Canal Street, Canal and Caroline at the corner.
Yeah.
So that's a lot, you know, going on around here. Mr. Massey was instrumental on that. So, you know, we're now working on a marker at Dorothy Hart Community Center. And that was for, I believe, the class of 1950.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, the class of 1950 of Walker Grant that was denied front door access to hold graduation. I think it was a flood at the original Walker Grant. It was something, it was some type of issue. I can't remember offhand because it's so much stuff. But they had permission to use the community center for graduation, and then they were denied access to the front door because African Americans had to go through the back door.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the story of that. So now even that is being represented, and you still have some members of that class of 1950 that are still around. So it's a beautiful thing, and to see the families. And so what you're hearing from me right now as I'm talking to you is community engagement. That's really what's happening. You know, folks in the community say, hey, Mr. Fry, hey, what about this? What about that? And I'm like, hey, let me throw it at council. And, you know, let it, and everybody knows, I'll bring it to council and say, hey, this is going on. And next thing you know, say 12 months later, you know, that we have some action. So the city's been moving well and telling these stories. And I can't wait to hear more. We'll get beyond the African-American story itself. And it'll just become, you know, part of history.
Yeah.
And it'll be more stories.
Well, and that's the exciting thing. Just when you think we know everything, all of a sudden these stories, and it's all interesting. A lot of it has come through you, and a lot of it has come just because of the initial discussion about the slave block.
Yeah. I never could imagine that it would go like this. I never could imagine that it would be almost so detailed. Because, you know, a lot of stuff is oral history. And now we're pulling up stuff that's, whoa, we have some facts.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of things that have happened, you know, a lot of people have stories that, man, I wish I would have documented that, or I wish, you know, you hear a lot of that of, you know, I remember when this happened, I remember when that happened, but, you know, we're showing documentation now.
And thankfully, some of these things, like you say, the class of 1950 at Walker Grant, there still are some people that can tell the story. Mm-hmm. It just makes the documentation a little bit easier and more complete.
Yeah. And I mean, and it honors, you know, it shows some, you know, it shows some respect, you know, to them and the real struggle, you know, of what it was. And it was, okay, that was regular life back then. But, you know, it wasn't actually, you know, it wasn't fair, but it was life, you know.
So yeah.
It's a lot of things. But I've seen, you know, a lot more people in the city, a lot of older folks start to love their city a little bit more.
And I'm sure a lot of those same people, or these are stories, and we're seeing some things happen that they probably never thought would happen.
Like now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And doing the local protesting and different things like that, had a lot of people, you know, that were involved in like the civil rights movement and all of that stuff. And I had a lot of people that would reach out to me back then, you know, during those times, and just talk to me about different things, or different examples of things that they went through. You know, it wasn't the magnitude, of course, of that, but I think it was them seeing that youthful energy.
Yeah.
And a lot of concerns back then from the older generation were making sure that everybody directed their energy, you know, to get, you know, a good result at the end.
Well, and in your case too, when you started bringing up the slave block, you pushed it. There was then the vote, and the initial vote, as I remember, you lost.
Uh-huh.
But you stayed with it.
Yeah, but it wasn't a loss. It was just we needed more dialogue. You know, I couldn't look at it as a loss.
And you never did, because I remember we had these conversations even on this show about that.
Yeah, and it was tough because it kind of took the wind out of me, you know, in the beginning. But the fact that we had an open dialogue amongst seven members of council.
Yeah.
Somehow we've got to communicate, right? So the fact that we had that open dialogue, and then different things, and then when they would see different folks from around the community, say how they felt, it's like, oh, okay, now we are, it's a better understanding. So it wasn't, it was more like when I would tell folks, hey, some people don't want to walk across that street. Some people don't want to walk down William Street, and then all of a sudden you started hearing people in the community, the stuff that I had been told all my life.
Yeah.
From some of these people. Some of those people showed up to some of these community meetings. Say, hey, I never will walk on that side of the street. I never will go on that block. And I think a lot of that opened, a lot of eyes. And, like I said, not everybody was in agreement with, that. But I think it was just a seeing of how people really felt. And if this is our city, it's got to be for us, for everybody. So
I find it interesting, Councilman Fry, that when you got on, it's just been interesting to watch kind of the as you have kind of worked through, figured out the just kind of the legislative process and how to get things through in the city, and you really have used it as a platform to get out a lot of these issues. You've been able you have a spot and a voice. As one of the seven members of city council, and,
right.
and you've learned how to use it.
Yeah. It's really just being real and just approaching it in a real way. Stories and personal, whatever it goes with it, it helps. It helps. And those stories that I share with my grandmother, Pearl French, in her living room, all my childhood. A lot of things that she told me, I never thought, that it would come out, during like a council meeting or anything like that. So it's just little things. But I mean, there are folks out there, that people can see that now and say, yeah, that really did happen, or it really was that way, So but it's not to dwell on the past. It's just respecting it, and then realize where we're going. So.
And at the same point, you haven't forgotten where you came from. I think of stuff like Peace in the Paint, mm-hmm. when you're kind of the MC of that, and just have a great time with that.
Yeah.
But it's an effort to try to bring the community together.
And I volunteer with that, every year to help. And then when folks see me as the quote MC, and then they hear me on a microphone, and really what I'm doing, for folks who don't know, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing the whole time is talking trash. And I'm talking trash for the kids, and it's talking about a layup, it's talking about an air ball, and at the same time interjecting some city stuff in there, saying, hey, this is going on in the city. And I remember one year we were doing something, and I was saying, hey, there's a brand new courthouse over there, make sure that our youth stay out of it.
Yeah.
And folks, the first year they weren't catching it.
Yeah.
Like, what is he talking about? Why is he talking about the new courthouse? Because I don't want these kids in the courthouse. I want you to go in as a visitor or something like that, And, I was using those examples of how important, this community outreach is. Because if we can, maybe, how about we just bring, one of the judges to the community and let them meet the kids that way, or something like that. You don't need to meet the judge at the courthouse.
Yeah.
We have local judges that walk to work around here, see them when you're getting a slice of pizza or something.
Yeah.
Instead of getting in trouble. And a lot of people didn't catch it at first, but they get it now.
Well, and I find it interesting because Peace in the Paint's an activity that happens usually late July.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, Saturday afternoon, I didn't even know about it. You mm-hmm. called me up. You were at it, and you said, hey, you might want to come on over here to Mayfield and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And it was a terrific day.
And it's a different perspective of what people think about the, that people have, their mindset on what some of these communities are or what some of these neighborhoods are. So I think that if you step over there doing Peace in the Paint, you see something totally different than what you may have heard before.
Yeah.
You see real community. You see a lot of just like love. Community love is what it really is. And everybody just having a great time. And like I said, the neighborhood itself and a couple other different neighborhoods in the city always somehow gets a bad bone when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, folks forget that it's kind of like on the outskirts of the city. It's a travel through neighborhood, just like some other neighborhoods, you know. But when something happens, oh, it's Mayfield, and I'm always respective of the kids that are growing up, and it's like, you know, they don't need to come up here and, you know, that they're from a bad place,
right?
Because they don't see it, so you can't talk about things that happened 30 years ago to kids that are 10 years old, you know. So, you know, I'm always big on boosting up, you know, the community and the great things. And if I am vice mayor, city councilman, the UPS man, you know, these kids don't know what I am,
yeah.
You know, but if I can jump on a microphone and just, you know, just have fun and just say all kinds of crazy stuff, all in good fun. And then they realize, wait a minute, that's the vice mayor. And, you know, and then they're like, wow, you know, it's like, it gives them something that's like, it's something tangible, and it gives them something like, wow, maybe I can do this.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, why not?
He's one of us. He lives two doors down from me.
I thought he was just a UPS guy.
right. Yeah.
So it's cool. And the UPS angle too is great, because over the years, in the past, like even like with seasonal help and all of that stuff, you know, those are the type of, you know, things that I enjoy when you get to say, hey man, you just graduated, you have a job yet? And, you know,
yeah.
And help folks, you know, get seasonal work and potentially lead into a career. So, you know, I'm happy about everything.
Now I see, and I see it in some of the conversations, because in a lot of ways you remind me of when I see Xavier Richardson around these kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is he'll talk fun with them, but also, how's school going? How are your grades? Mm-hmm. How are you doing there? And you do the same thing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And for me, it's like just letting them know, like, hey, you can do this. And I'm always big on like civics class and saying, hey, you know, hey, when I used to ride the bus, our bus went down Princess Anne Street, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chip Sutter, I always try to give him a shout out, but he was our civics teacher, and he wouldn't let us fail. And so on a ride home, you get to see the courthouse, the city hall,
yeah,
the police department, the fire department, you know, public works office down, you know, downstairs. You know, just knowing that and learning civics at the same time, that was probably one of the best rides home every day when I was in civics coming down Princess Anne Street.
Yeah.
The school board office was up there.
Yeah.
You know, on Princess Anne. So
yep.
just to see all of that stuff, it really, it was something that I could see. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. But it never clicked until later. It never, you know, until way later.
So, yeah. And here we are now.
Yeah.
Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning. We will take a break and return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning as we talk city stuff. Hard to believe that it's 2022.
Time is flying.
I can't. Speaking of time flying, this year was when you were reelected in November. This is now starting your third term on city council,
yeah, that's
isn't
right.
it?
That's right.
Which
yeah.
to me, that just, how'd you decide to run for city council? Because to me, your name just kind of popped up.
Yeah.
And it was not a name that I was really aware of.
Yeah. I was involved in a lot of, you know, grassroots community stuff. Me and my wife. We're doing a lot of things like community block parties and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was my concept on some of the stuff I was doing really at home and just spreading it out to the neighborhood was really that a lot of kids, you know, didn't have, you know. So it was like, say, graduation, and you could have a street with three graduates and one of them might have a graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the other two families couldn't do it. So we started doing community block parties. And it was funny because a lot of people say, hey, when's your kid graduate? Like, not yet. And they were thinking that I was doing this big party, like maybe for one of my kids.
Yeah, sure.
No, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
And but that was just something that was on our hearts, you know, to do. But really, it was the gun violence that took me to the point of saying I'm running for council. It was that's what really happened. It was one morning, and that's a 5-minute story. But it was one morning where it all clicked in my head, and I was like, hey, I need to be on council. What that requires, I don't know yet. But I need to be on council because we had a lot of shootings that were happening in my area. And, you know, yeah, I'm not going to go into it because of the families, out of respect for the families. But a lot of shootings happened in a short period of time, a couple of murders. And I was like, all right, that's enough.
And one of your first things was the gun give back.
Absolutely.
A gun give back. And it's totally different than, I mean, I think everyone jumped to a lot of conclusions mm-hmm. about what this meant. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a gun give back. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of these buyback kind of things. Yeah. And it was all voluntary.
Yep. And that I knew about the General Assembly and the laws that have been changed about gun buybacks back in the day. And you know, they were done in big cities. Now I see some of them are doing them now because some of the rules have changed. You know, the whole thing for me was if we could get guns out of hands of people that don't want them. Because yeah. there was always a scenario of people saying, you can't take my guns. Well, everybody doesn't really want. Sometimes, you know, you might always use the story of like maybe a widow has a weapon in a house that she never had any intentions on, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the case, you know, of having this gun. Now she has this gun. You know, you have scenarios where there are guns around, you know, usually from someone that passed on in the family. And now you have this weapon around. And you may have, you know, people who haven't been properly trained with the weapon or just don't want it around at all, but they don't know what to do with it. And it's proven that it's effective. It's weird, you know, eight gun give backs or so now, and we're over 200 guns.
I was going to say, it's over 200,
yeah,
I know.
It's over 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of stories that people come up and tell, that they just have it. And in some cases, there's something that they probably could have sold and got something
Absolutely.
For, but they don't. They just didn't want it around anymore.
Yeah, they don't even want to touch it. Like, hey, if I can get it to the trunk,
yeah,
can I bring it to the police station? You know, and that's how they really feel. Some people don't even want to touch it. You know, in their home, they'll call a family member or something, and say, hey, you know. This person has his weapon and they don't want it in the house.
And you've stuck with it. And even though it's a hard thing to be able to quantify, quote unquote, success, but you know that you just statistically, you mm-hmm. have to think that you have saved some lives.
Yeah, it's got to be helpful. And I always, you know, would say, you know, it's, you know, even if it's one gun, you know, but in the same respect, zero guns. And that's the hardest pitch. You know, to say zero guns is a success.
Yeah.
The success is the program itself and having that option. And so obviously there's 200 stories floating mm-hmm. that somebody knows these stories, right? There are 200 stories floating around the city of Fredericksburg about weapons that have been turned in. Not from us, from the folks that are turning them in, whatever they're telling their families.
Right.
But, you know, you've seen it. You've seen it firsthand. And it's a 30-second process.
It is. You walk up. That you turn it over, no one asks you questions, and you move on.
I remember a lot of people tried to introduce themselves to me. I'm like, hey, wait, no. Please don't introduce, you know, and that's the weird.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Fry, I'm such as, no, please don't introduce yourself to me.
Right.
You know, you talk to me at the grocery store or something.
Yeah, this is what you wanted to do, and that's how you've always treated
it. Yep, and shout out to the police department and the sheriff's department, you know, for mm-hmm. everybody that joins in and makes it happen. And it's a year-round thing. So it's not just a one-day event. It's any day.
You can stop by the police station and drop things off, and you've told stories about late at night someone's called and said, "Do you come get this? I don't want it in my house anymore."
Yep, and I've done it, and I'll do it. And I think I had a call in September or October this year. I mean, last year,
right?
But a couple months ago, I received a call. And I had to take a Chick-fil-A home cold. I was actually in the drive-thru, and the phone rung, and that was that. So I had dinner. I had got off work a little bit late.
Your poor family. Your wife is a saint sometimes, I think.
Hey, that's why we got microwaves, you know. But, hey, man, I mean, 45-minute delay, but we took care of something that was way bigger than Chick-fil-A that day.
I know that a date hasn't been set, but sometime in the new year there will be another gun give back.
Yeah, it'll be soon. I'm playing catch up from election to UPS to now the new year. So I'm in my catch up phase right now. So Chief Layton and I'll probably be back in here soon.
Yeah, we'll do. We have done that show many times. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that with you from to think about. I mean, you're really just literally catching your breath after going from an election and then everything that goes with the holiday season in UPS. Wow.
Oh yeah, it's just go. Yeah, I just get up and go. But it works. It works somehow. It works out, you know. And that was a concern when I ran for council of how would this work. But everything worked itself out. So yeah,
I must say it remains to me one of the more humorous things that right at the very beginning of the pandemic when Zoom was starting, and we all were trying to figure that out. And I'm sitting at home watching a city council meeting, and you're all on Zoom, and you sent me a text and said this reminds me of the Brady Bunch right now, just laughed.
Yeah, because we had everybody on the screen, and everybody was talking. I don't know if everybody realized it. But I think you sent me a text that said something about being on a UPS truck.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it looked like.
Yeah, everybody else was kind of in there. They were probably in their office or at a desk or something.
You were.
Yeah, and I was standing up on a UPS truck doing these emergency meetings for the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of that, yeah. And it was just funny looking at the screen with, you know, nine people or so on the screen, and you see everybody look up.
Yeah.
Like if the mayor was talking, somebody would look up.
It's
like you can't see her. But it was just looking at their screen. I don't think that people were realizing that they were looking left and right at the screen.
It was one of the great images. And when I looked at it, I just laughed. just thought. And as we all try to figure this out, that was a very humorous way to look at things.
Yeah.
Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Boy. More meetings are coming up, but as financially, city's got some major things as far as building schools and wastewater and just to try to keep the tax rate livable for people in the city.
Yeah, but those conversations are normal conversations. It's not a shock to anybody.
Right.
Everybody knows the city's growing. When I hear conversations about, you know, what's happening financially and all of that, I look at the things like, look how close we were to having a VA hospital or the VA clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people forget about that when it's over. But we fought hard for that. That would have been one of the biggest economic impacts in the city. So, you know, how are we going to pay the bill? Well, you have a working council that's trying. And just like with baseball, if it wasn't for the pandemic and all of that, oh, man, we'd be the biggest, baddest thing around here, you know?
Yeah.
And if you had the whole full series of the concert series and all of that, if you look at everything that the council has been working on over the years, you know, obviously it's going to be some challenges to make things happen, but that's normal.
Yeah.
It's been the same since I've been on council, and look how much we've got done since I've been on council, over the last 8 years, seven and a half, because we lost 6 months on the November. But when I look at, you know, the progress that we have made, we've made a lot of progress. So, you know, I tend not to dwell on some of the unknowns. I like to look at how far we really came, you know, as the city. But we're going to have to pay some bills. That's obvious. We're going to have to pay some bills. And it's beneficial for the city and for the residents. So, you know, we've been on tour. We've been around the city.
Yeah.
You know, we've did everything that we possibly, you know, could do. I would say above and beyond to talk about numbers and you know, a lot of times people are late to the conversation. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that you got to do this. I don't know where you've been for the last X amount of years.
Been talked about. One of the things that you have fought really hard for, and I don't know that it's been resolved yet, is the train cars that are parked over near Mayfield. And it's real personal for those people over there. And when you actually go over there and see those cars and how close they are,
very close.
That's an issue still to be resolved.
Oh yeah, and it was taken care of about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. 4 years ago. It was taken care of when it was ethanol. So now there's a propane issue. I need to get you over there too. Now there's a propane issue. And it's different from the ethanol, so it's kind of a new problem. It's the same issue, but a new scenario. And I've been fighting that real hard as well. I don't mind throwing it out there. I remember one day at a council meeting saying, hey, you know, the CEO or whatever of CSX, you know, why don't you buy a house on Railroad Avenue? You know, why don't you buy a house on Railroad Avenue? Why don't you put your family in front of these tanker cars when your kid goes to school or whatever the case, you know? That's how strongly I feel about it. But it's a serious, serious issue. More attention on it will help. You know, more attention will definitely help. But in the city, we've passed a resolution saying we don't want them there. We've done a lot in the city to go right at, you know, the issue. So, I just hope that with enough noise, you know, and folks realize they're not being good neighbors, that, you know, they would fix the problem. But if they don't, we'll just keep making noise.
Well, and I do remember that and when the railroad officials have come to the city, you've been very direct, and at times I've thought that's a pointed question, but yes. you've made a pointed question, and you demand answers sometimes.
Yeah, I get those calls at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I got a call over the weekend about a continuously running tanker car. The locomotive.
Yeah.
So we have those type of issues that really happen, and you know everybody else is I'm saying like CSX employees or whatever it might be. You know, somebody's leaving the car running,
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting a call from the neighbor, and it's 3 a.m, and they can't believe that it's running, and then they don't want to call, but they still can't believe it's running. So I get a 3 a.m. call.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Well, and I can remember a few years ago when this kind of reemerged, I remember you saying to me, you know, nobody wants to wake up some morning and have, you know, or you don't want to, in this case, where we're sitting as the crow flies, we're not too far from there.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to be sitting here and all of a sudden, you know, have the building shake and you wonder, where's that coming from?
And then you realize,
that could be over on the railroad tracks or by Mayfield.
Cobblestone apartments are right on the opposite side of the tracks.
Right.
The industrial park down where M&M Auto Parts is, over there in the industrial center, that's right across the tracks. Down the tracks a little bit, you have companies like Pepsi Cola that are down there. UPS sits further down the road, but people don't realize how close it is.
Yeah.
So CVS Warehouse sits down there on the side of the track. So if anybody goes down Lansdowne Road and you just look at what's on Lansdowne Road and you know that those railroad tracks are there.
They're going right over.
Everything is right there.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just look at it because they see what's happening on Railroad Avenue, but they don't see what's going on down the tracks where everything else is involved. So it's a big effect. But like I say, more comments, more voices, more eyes on it, more noise, really. Yeah, noise, you know, to get them to realize that they're not being good neighbors. And I don't mind, you know, saying it. So,
but we'll go out there. You and I will go out there someday and
that's fine.
Look it over again.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be on the list too, Mr. Schultz.
Yeah, I was just thinking, here's something else we can do. Vice Mayor Chuck Fry here this morning. We'll take a break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Vice Mayor Chuck Fry in this morning. I don't know if you even know this, Vice Mayor, that when council does get together and comes up, you hoping to continue on as Vice Mayor?
That'll be nice. That comes from the council. That comes from the council. But yeah, that'll be nice. It'll be an honor.
You've led a couple of meetings. When the mayor's been away, you've done a couple of meetings.
I think I kind of like really rushed myself. I really feel like I rushed.
Oh, you got through that meeting though.
A lot of people said good job, but I didn't want to mess up. You know, Mayor Greenlaw. You know, that's a tough act to follow. You know,
it is.
So I had to. When I was sitting there sometimes, like, man, how fast am I going, you know? But that was one meeting that the council probably was happy because I didn't do a lot of additional talking there. I mean,
you just kept it going.
Kept
it going.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I guess one of the things, and probably you, if anybody has listened through this whole time, has picked up from you is, and I know that you would want to tell people, if you've got an issue, if you've got a concern about something in the city, talk to a councilman.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody who can actually do something. Don't just always complain and put something on Facebook.
Yeah. No sense in complaining on something that can be fixed or at least worked on or approached, you know. And a lot of things folks don't know about until, oh, I can't believe this and it's a big deal. Hey, and that's why we have public comments at city council meetings. You can bring those comments in and you know, you can stand in front of us and say, hey, this is a problem. And it's effective because there's, you know, you get work done, you know, like that. But, you know, I've done a lot of coffee. Everybody knows that, you know, a lot of coffee meetings and all of that. Mm-hmm. So any excuse for me to get my day jumping, like really jumping, I'm talking about jumping. I'll take it.
What time does the day start for you?
My day starts usually around 7:30. It's just the point of, I don't know when my day is going to end.
Yeah.
So that's the only trick with me. So I'm ready to get, you know, real amped up early in the morning.
Well, and a lot of times some of these neighborhood concerns, it starts with someone coming up and during, like you say, public comment. Uh-huh. It's city council. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it becomes a bigger issue and oftentimes gets resolved.
Yeah. And you know, once that's part of being a representative of your community as well. Like, you know, you have to be able to be reached. And people got to be able to talk to you, so it works. I mean, either way, it works. When somebody reaches out to me, I can usually get something done that day, just not putting too much stress on city staff. But if somebody reaches out to me within the course of a day and say, "Hey, this is going on," I usually can have somebody over there. So, yeah. And before we go to, I want to, you know, just say for you know, we have a new dynamics, you know, on the council. You know, Mr. Withers, Mr. Withers went
retired.
On home. He said, all right. He said he had enough of it. But it was fun working with Mr. Withers and all that knowledge base, you know, that he had. But I wanted to say, you know, to the council, if anybody that's listening, like, I can't wait to see, you know, what we get done. I'm always going to be positive and upbeat. You know, I might talk about the worries of the world, but I can't wait to see, you know, what we get done, you know, as this new council.
Vice Mayor Chuck Frey, we'll do this again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Shule.
Stay safe. It's a snowy day. We'll see you in the morning.
On News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.